We're going to talk about His love toward us for just a few minutes this morning. Go ahead and turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. His love toward us. You know, and I use this Wednesday night also, but before I read that, let me just kind of preface this. How many of you grew up in church?
Okay, this is not working right for me here.
Now, how many of you grew up in church? All right. And maybe, just look at it this way. My whole life in the Word of God and in church was, all right, God did this, now show me what I'm supposed to do. God has forgiven me, now it's up to me to handle it the rest of the way. God's done this wonderful thing for me through the Lord Jesus Christ, now I have a responsibility. Never realizing that in that thinking it would develop in me a dependence on my ability to perform. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you do understand what I'm talking about if you grew up in church. I've used this little song that we just love around here, and it says, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Certainly that is true. You were not qualified to pay the debt for sin. Because everyone born after Adam was born after sin, with that sin nature. So the blood that needed to be paid, the life that needed to be paid for the sin of the world, no normal man could qualify because man's blood was not the perfect, spotless, sinless blood. And so it could not pay, even though man tried. Jesus, since He was born of the Word of God, through Mary, He never had Satan as His Lord. He was not of the spiritual lineage of Adam as far as the blood was concerned, because He wasn't born of that. He was born of the Word of God. So He was the only one that qualified. God's love making Him that for us. And so, as you look at that, you realize, okay, I could not pay that debt. Jesus had to pay it for me, and He did. Well, most of you have heard me tell this not too long ago. I was at the office at the ranch, just standing looking out, praying over the different things. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. And I was singing that little song, He paid a debt He did not owe. And it just, boy, it's just such a blessing to me. And I love the little song. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And He said, son, you're 61 years old. When are you going to quit trying to pay me back? And, you know, my first thought was, Lord, I'm not trying to pay you back. But I couldn't even get that out of my mouth because I knew that was what I've done all my life. Because I owed a debt. And I thought I had to pay it. He paid it for me. Since I don't owe it over here, then I owe it to Him. He didn't give Himself as a sacrifice for us so that we would owe Him. He gave Himself a sacrifice for us because He loves us. And love doesn't take account. You see what I mean? So anyway, we've been doing a lot of studying on these things. I want to show you something. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. As I talk about the love of God and His love toward us, make myself a note. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, down in verse 4. It says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, we receive Your word this morning. We thank You for bringing it to life for us. We thank You, Heavenly Father. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, a searchlight, as You say. And so we receive revelation and insight this day. We believe we'll get something from You this day by Your Spirit that'll change our life forever. We thank You. We give You the glory because it is Your goodness that leads to repentance. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we read that, you know that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not by good works. When you start talking about the mercy and the grace of God and the love of God, they get afraid that you're not going to put much emphasis on what we have to do. But, we haven't really been a great success putting a lot of emphasis on what we have to do. And John Suter and I were talking about this morning. I said, I have a friend who called me not every once in a while. He's been through some really hard things in his life, and a young man. And he has, by the grace of God, he is overcoming one after another. And it's just a great thing. And Rodney is just a really neat guy. And the accident that he had, they said he wouldn't live first. And after that, he would never be anything but a vegetable. And then he would never walk again. And then he would never do this and never do that and never do this and that and everything else. And while he still struggles with his words, Rodney speaks about one word ever 5 seconds or something like that. But Rodney team ropes with us. And he still team ropes. And he rides that horse and he ropes. But anyway, Rodney called me and he said, Butch, he said, I have a problem. And he said, all I'm doing is what I know I'm supposed to do to overcome all this. And he said, but everybody that sees what I'm doing, all they do is talk about me. And he said, that's not right. I said, Rodney, you're not going to keep people from talking about you because we're all so proud of you. We all believe with you. We love you so much for what you're doing. He said, yeah, but it's not me, Butch. I said, son, I know it's not you. See, what we miss is man works, give to God, man gets the glory. When you do it the Bible way, God works, gives to man. God gets the glory. We have to keep remembering that. We have to put it in place. Now, while the Bible talks about they may see your good works and glorify who? The Father. Certainly they're going to look at you, but we need to draw all attention to the Lord. The easiest way to do that is to talk about His love toward us. Amen? Now, we've read that. We want you to go. I'm going to just give you some scripture here. 1 John chapter 4. Now, I want you to set your mind in motion to get ready to think spiritually instead of religiously. So I don't know the difference. Yeah, you will. One comes from up here, one comes from here. You got to remember, the word religion means return to bondage. Isn't that exciting? Okay? Because most of us growing up in church, we've looked at what it said. Oh, yeah, that's what God did. Now, what am I supposed to do? Because that's how we're going to achieve, is with what I'm supposed to do. And we've missed the whole concept of the Word of God. You have to get ready to receive spiritually. And I'll show you in Scripture, and I challenge you from this day forward, if this is something new to you, you start looking at the Bible on the basis of His love toward you instead of your love toward Him. And it'll change how you look at the Bible. It'll change. It just changes everything. Okay? 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. Now, so many times growing up as we looked at that word, it basically said to us, well, now if I'm going to be a Christian, if I'm going to be born of God, I got to love people. That isn't what it said. It said just the opposite. It said if you're born of God, you will love people. But we use that as a job to do in order to qualify ourselves to be a Christian. You do not qualify to be a Christian. You don't try to be a Christian. Being a Christian is not a set of tenets of faith that you live. Being a Christian means a miracle took place in you and you were created new, this spirit man on the inside of you. And you are born of God. You are a child of God. He has shed forth His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You are His child, now and forevermore. Amen. That's what a Christian is. Even when you don't act like it, you're a Christian. Okay? It's not what you do, it's what He's done. The only really part you had in it was saying, oh, Jesus, help me, or oh, God, I'm so pitiful. You know, remember those words you said or whatever it was? However, how you ask Jesus into your life and He said, there's my opportunity. I'm there. Amen? Because He's not looking for a way to stay out. He's always looking for a way in. Now, go over to the 16th verse. Now, you see what I'm getting at about looking at the Scripture a different way? Listen, there's no lack of work for us to do. There's always something to do. And I know I've said this, it seemed like every week for the last few weeks. Everybody's always made fun of us men because they always say men don't want to know what's on TV. They want to know what else is on TV. Right? That's why we get to control the clicker. Women, bless your darling hearts, you're just not good at it. You know, my wife, she'll get that thing and she just, it just doesn't run fast enough forward. I want to say, hit another button, baby. Hit another button. Okay? So, that you're always saying, men don't want to know what's on TV. They want to know what else is on TV. Well, Christians, here's been our motto. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We want to know what else we're supposed to do. Because we're for sure we're not doing enough. Come on now. Yeah, what else am I supposed to do? That scripture, having done all to stand, never fit any of us. Because we'd always say, well, I hadn't done all. I got to be something else I hadn't done. I mean, my goodness, I can do one more good deed, or I can fast one more hour, or I can, you know. We're always looking for something else to do. That's works. And you're not saved by works. You're not delivered by works or anything else, okay? Now, herein is verse 17. Back up to 16. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now again, think about it. A lot of times growing up in church, now you might not have been this way, but I just always had a guilt complex. I never was good enough for anything, you know, as far as God was concerned. And so when I look at that, I would say, okay, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God. Okay, so if I don't dwell in love, then I'm not dwelling in God. When you're looking at it backwards. The Bible plainly says if you're dwelling in God, which you are as a child of God, you're dwelling in love. I'm sorry, this is the Bible. It's not me. If it was me, we'd all be doing. Let's do some more. Whatever. Let's do one more thing. Okay? No. But Jesus just thinks what he's done is enough. All right. So, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're going to quit doing anything. I'm saying the reason for what you do will change when you get a hold of the Word of God. It will no longer be a work for you. It will simply be a labor of love. That's who you are. It's what you do. Okay? Herein is our love made perfect. Oh, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. I don't know about you, but growing up in church, we just pretty much wanted to bypass that one, because we didn't understand that. As He is, so are we in this world. Oh, come on. We're talking Jesus and me. As He is, so are we. Because He's perfect. I'm not perfect. Don't look at me like you're so innocent. It's not the same thing. As He is, so are we in this world. Well, how can that be, Brother Butch? Because God said it. Because He declared it. Because He made it happen. Not because I've done enough for it to be true, but because He said it. His word is forever settled in heaven. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. When He looks at you, He's looking through the blood. He did that purposely. He did that purposely. Why? That great love wherewith He loved us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Because fear hath torment. Now he that fears is not made perfect in love. So we looked at that. There's no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Okay, so if I'm going to get this fear out of my life, I've got to perfect my love. You can't perfect your love. Because your love can't be perfect. A natural love can't be perfect. Who has the perfect love? The Lord Jesus has that. You just have to let that rule in your life. Well, how do I do that? Just say that. Lord, I let your perfect love rule in my life. Why? Because that's where the perfect love comes from. How much would you have to do in love for your love to be perfect? I don't know. I don't know where the scale is. I don't know how far it'd have to go. But the perfect love that God has toward me and you has already been exposed and shown to us. That's the love of God. So it's that much easy. It's all about Him and not about us. All right? Now, Galatians 5 and 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh or a work of religion. That's His love. I'm fixing to kick on pretty quick here so we can go through this. Romans 5, chapter 8 says God, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says God commended His love toward us. Romans 8:39 says, who shall separate us from the love of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, He has already prepared all these great things that it says it just hasn't entered into the heart of man, or man's eyes have not seen, and the ear hadn't heard, and neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's why most Christians miss it, because He delivered it to you by your spirit instead of by your religion or understanding. You love God whether you realize it or not. If you're born of God, you love God. I don't love Him enough. What's enough? What is enough? Who's going to decide that? Well, Jesus said, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, come on. Who's doing that? Huh? I fess up. Who in here has the ability to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then that neighbor thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who has that and who's doing it? Don't stick your hand up. You'll be lying anyway. You're not capable of it. But that's the commandment of the Lord. Yeah, and it's basically still an Old Testament commandment. What did he say? Without me, you can do nothing. See, that gives you the right to believe. Some people have to help you. I mean, Jesus had to help you love some people. He sure has to help you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because you can't do that on your own. There's never a point where you say, I have done all I can to love God. I've done. No, you haven't either. None of us have. Thank God we don't have to. Why? Because Jesus did it for us. Amen. All right, let me get on down to this. Oh, I love this one. 1 John 3:1. This one like got Jesus killed right here. You remember this? Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we'd be called the sons of God. What happened when Jesus, he hardly ever did it. What happened that time when he talked about God being his Father? They're going to kill him, right? Why? Now think about this. The standard of this Bible was what he was living by. Jesus was working on the pristine example of the Old Testament. And that law said, if you called God your Father, it made you equal with God. And that's what he did. And it made them so mad they couldn't see straight. And they were going to kill him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called the sons of God. That's love. That's his love toward us. I know, Brother Butch, that's why we owe him. He's not wanting you to pay him back. He just wants to love you. Why? Because him loving you like he does, as you as his child, you just love him more and more every day. That's the love of God. I'll give you an example. Now this is 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Go back to St. John. Well, I don't really have. Let me just give you an example here. I think I wrote it down. Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's use the 13th chapter. In John 13, 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, five times in the book of John, John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Everybody remember? You remember? You've seen that before? John was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times in that book right there. Yeah. Why in that book is he called the disciple whom Jesus loved? Because he wrote the book. John wrote it. And he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Christy Rising, Christy's right back there. She sent me an email the other day asking some questions about the church, and her title under her name, the daughter whom Jesus loves. Isn't that what you use? Yeah. And as soon as I saw it, it just blessed me. The daughter whom Jesus loved. John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. But I want to show you an example right here. Look right back at that. Now, he was leaning on Jesus' breast, on his chest. They were just, you know, things were going on there, and it was just Jesus was about to, you know, be offered. Verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. Jesus just talked to him about somebody betraying him. Now, have you ever known Peter to be bashful? Peter's not bashful, okay? I mean, this guy's bold. He's ready to jump in the middle of anybody. We already, you know, cut one guy's ear off, you know, in this situation here. We see that and all of that. But in this deal, when Jesus talks to them about who's going to betray, he looks at that disciple whom Jesus loved and said, ask him who it is. Why? I mean, he's Peter. Jesus loves him like he loved John. Well, evidently, Peter felt like that John was closer to Jesus than he was. Did Jesus love him differently? No. Where was the perception? It was in Peter. All right? Remember, John, all the way through, called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, when Jesus said, I'm about to go to Jerusalem, I'm about to be offered, Peter said, no, you're not. Not if I got anything to do with it. He said, you know, basically, my love for you, I'll die for you, man. They ain't going to take you. They take you, they're taking me. Well, you know all the things that he said. He took all of his efforts. Peter was always taking his effort to express his love for Jesus. In just a few short hours after him professing how much he loved Jesus, guess what? He denied him. You think, man, a guy that professed that much love in Jesus, and then he denied him? Why? Because his faith was in his ability to love Jesus. Where was John through all this? Right next to him. When Jesus was crucified, who'd he give his mama to? John. Why? Because John depended on Jesus' love for him, not on his love for Jesus. The power is not in me and you expressing our love for him. The power's in us expressing his love for us. When you talk about how much he loved, when you call yourself the disciple whom Jesus loved, it reminds you of his love for you. When you know that you know that you know that he loves you more than he loves anything else, that's when we start getting our prayers answered. That's when things start changing. That's when you're able to walk away from the sin in your life that you hate so much that you've been expressing your love toward God about, hoping to get out of it. And there's no power in that. The power is in understanding his love for you and talking about that. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, let me tell you one. Oh, I can't do this without crying. Y'all know I can't do it without crying, so don't even worry about it, okay? In go to 2 Samuel 9, I think. All right, we're going to have to back up. But hold your place in 9. That's where we're going to be. But I think it's 4, chapter 4, I think, that first mentions John, Mephibosheth. Is it four? Yeah. Whereabouts is that? Four and what? Four and four. Okay, look at this. In 2 Samuel 4 and 4. And now you know that Jonathan was Saul, King Saul's son. He and David had a covenant relationship that they just both were willing to die for each other. They just closest of friends. And David had that for Saul too. Saul just let fear come in, thought David was after him, and David never was after Saul. Okay? It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. When he was 5 years old and the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan, his dad and his granddad, out of Jezreel, how they had been killed. It says, his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that she fell. And he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth in the King James has a couple of different translations of the name. One means the casting down of an idol. And in that it means the same thing, dispeller of shame. So his name means dispelling the shame. All right, now I want you to get the example here. This little guy, when everything was heard around him that his father and his grandfather had been killed, they were just sure that it was David, and David was going to come kill everybody of Saul's and Jonathan's family. Well, the nurse grabbed him up as a baby and took off running. When she fell, it crushed his feet. All right? The significance, the nurse was the one that took care of him. If what takes care of you is not God, it will always render you incapable. And it won't even be your fault. Are you with me? So this nurse took care of him, protected him, fed him, gave him everything that he needed. But she was also the one in that situation that caused him to be incapable. All right. So this is what took place. Now, over in the ninth chapter, David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? That word kindness there is the word hasid, the loving kindness of God. Okay? That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called unto David, the king, he said, are you Ziba? He said, yes, I am. And the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son who's lame in his feet. The king said, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Michal, the son of Amaliel, in Lodabar. Well, Lodabar means no pasture. And for people that raise animals, that's not a good situation, okay? Lodabar means no pasture. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michal and the son of Amaliel from Lodabar. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and he said, what is this thy servant? What is thy servant that thou should look upon him such a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba. If you will take that story and put it on the prodigal father, it's the same thing. Mephibosheth started telling him how worthless he was, how he didn't deserve anything, and the king didn't even listen to him. The king called to the servants what to bring this boy. When the prodigal son and the prodigal father had that meeting, and that son came back, started telling him how worthless he was, and I don't deserve to be your son, blah, 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 the father didn't even address that to him. He looked at the servant and he said, go kill the fatted calf. Bring the robe. Bring the ring. Bring the shoes. He didn't care. All he cared about was showing his love to that child. Okay. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertains to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and your servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then he said to the king, according to all that the Lord the king has commanded your servant, that's what your servant will do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a son also, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were his servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelled in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. And he was still incapable of doing it on his own. He was lame in his feet. He was still incapable of making it on his own. He didn't have to. Because the king said, you're going to eat at my table. I got servants working for you. And they're going to bring your wealth and stack it up over there. And the food and the grain and all that. But you're eating at my house from now on. He didn't get the boy started again. God doesn't get us started again on our own. We operate on His love every day. I, you, we will never, 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 never go back to the place where we depend on anything but His love. Anything. Anything but His love. Because there's nothing else there. That's the love that He has toward us. That's how much He loves you. He does not want to get you started over again. He wants to set you up. He wants to get it all for you. Now, what does that cause in us? It simply causes, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And repentance doesn't just mean quitting doing all the bad stuff you're doing. Repentance means to think differently. Turn, go the other way. Think differently. We got to start thinking differently about His love toward us. His love does not hinge on anything you do, how you act, how good you've been, if you fulfilled everything. His love is who He is. And He loves you no matter what. You can't make Him mad. He ain't going to get you for that. I don't care what religion has told you. If God's going to get you for that, you'd already be God. What's He going to do? He's going to dwell with you every day of your life in mercy and grace and understanding and forgiveness. Why? Because He said, they which receive that abundance of grace and that gift of righteousness will reign in life by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can reign. It's the only way you can rule, overcome, loose and dissolve and undo the work the devil's done. All that other stuff that you know is right for you to do in life, to make your way prosperous, to tell the world how wonderful He is. The way you do that is by receiving His grace. The word grace meaning God's willingness to use His power on your behalf. Righteousness means right standing with God. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did. When you reach out and embrace that, knowing that it is unmerited. Abraham didn't get what he got by works. He didn't get it because he deserved it. He got it because he believed God. As many as be of faith, these are the children of Abraham. That's how you and I live. Depending on the mercy, the grace, the love of God. The mercy and the grace and the love of God is not a blanket to let you continue to live in the mess you're in. The mercy and the grace of God says your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Your iniquities meaning lawless deeds. Well, every misstep is a lawless deed if you want to depend on the law. But what he's using is when he told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, my grace is sufficient for you, the whole church world thought God meant, well, go on and suffer through, Paul. Because what I've done is enough. But nobody understood what he meant by what I've done is enough. By his stripes we were healed. He became poor that we might become rich. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what that love did. That's what that mercy and grace did. It's not grace to suffer through. It's grace to overcome. And that's the kind of love he has for you. Now, you get a group of people who know that their sins and their lawless deeds he will remember no more, who can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a bunch of people fixing to walk out of the junk in their life. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's the way it works. We've concentrated on us and concentrated on us and concentrated on us, trying to make us better and make us better and make us better and everything else, when the one who is better is the one we forgot about his love toward us. That's what the world needs to hear out there. God's love towards you. Not how you can impress God. Not how God will accept you if you get everything fixed. I mean, heaven's going to be pretty empty if we all have to everything fixed. Jesus fixed it all. What we do is we depend on him. We don't let that nurse pick us up and go running with us. No, we're sitting at the king's table. Yeah, we're still incapable, naturally, of doing it on our own. I don't ever plan on being a self-made man. I think I did that one time. I didn't like it. I wasn't happy with what it came out, you know. No. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world because of God's love towards you. You're loved. You're forgiven. You're blessed. You're kept. Psalm 107:20 said he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all of our destructions. That's the love that God has for you. That's how much he loves you. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, I don't know what people have told you about him. But what I'm telling you is he loves you. He knows he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. You've been trying to make it on your own? Man, you won't like it if you do it. He is the way. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from and about me, he said. And you'll find rest to your souls, he said, because my yoke is easy. And my burdens lie. God will let you be you. A better you than you've ever been in your life. Most of you know your personality didn't change when you got born again. It takes some time. And some of it never changes. That's why we learn to endure. No, I'm just kidding. No, but you know, it's just personality. But who you are in Christ Jesus is what's important. That's the whole thing right there. If you have not accepted Jesus, we're going to stand here in just a minute and pray. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior ever before in your life, man, this is your time. Well, I need to get things fixed. No, you don't. Well, I've always been told if I'd straighten up, God would accept me. They told you wrong. You're already accepted. Actually, you're already forgiven. You might not have received the forgiveness on yourself yet, but you're already forgiven. Now, if you're a child of God, this may be even harder. You better forgive yourself. If God's forgiven you, what right do you have to hold it against yourself? Come on. You say, oh, yeah, but Brother Butch, I ought to know better. Well, shouldn't we all? I ought to do better. Shouldn't we all? That's why I told you all the time, I love that scripture when they looked at Jesus and said, good master, what good thing must we do to inherit eternal life? And he looked at him and said, why are you calling me good? Well, duh. I mean, that's what I'd call him, wouldn't you? He said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. What was he saying? It's not about being good. It's about God. And now certainly about Jesus because he's given him a name that's above every name. You are the apple of his eye, the object of his affection. There's nothing he loves more than you. You may not think anybody else around you loves you, but the Heavenly Father loves you with the greatest love you could ever imagine. It's cleansed you of your sin. It's healed you. It's blessed you. He's brought finances. He's done it all. So, wow, I owe him. Yeah, we do. But we ain't going to try to pay him back. We're going to do what the Bible says. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm not going to try to pay him back. I'm just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, what does that cause? It causes you to go tell that bunch out there how much they're loved. By you? Well, yeah, you too. But that's not what it's about. It's telling how much he loves them. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's the key to it. Let's stand together. Thought maybe I had 6 or 7 more scriptures I need to cover, but I don't think so. I know. As we go to the Lord in prayer, you're the only one that can make any decision for you at all. It doesn't have to be any kind of a formal thing. You know, we've always put a lot of emphasis on, confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. And we use that many times as people come down and we pray that. But it's not a confessing for the people. You're not confessing Jesus so that people can hear you do it. You're confessing him as Lord of your life. You do that to him. Because every day of your life, now, knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you can walk in his presence every day, no matter what's going on in your life, you can talk to him. And he'll talk to you. The place in the Bible where we saw people's hearts burn within them were those disciples on the road to Emmaus when Jesus revealed to them who he was. They said this, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way?" You want your heart to be burning? You don't have to read your 12 chapters and fast your 2 hours and do all that. Nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. All you got to do is talk to Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, listen, oh, please don't do this. I did this so much in my life. I talked to the Lord, and I would hear, all I'd hear was, "I love you." And I say, yeah, but let's get to the important stuff. Why? Because we need to talk about the things that was wrong with me. I needed those things fixed. I didn't like them. And he would tell me he loved me. And I'd say, "Yeah, Lord, I love you too." And then I'd try to go to the next thing. Totally missed what he was talking to me about. I told you this for years as your pastor. Every morning, I say, "Lord, what do you want me to tell the people?" He said, "Tell them I love them. Tell them I love them." And all those years, I thought, yeah, Lord, we know that. We didn't know that much of it. When you know how much he loves you, it changes everything in your life. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this day that your Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts. I thank you, Lord, that whatever the situation is, you are the author and the developer of our faith. And so, I know. You said, "He that comes to me, I'll in no way cast out." So no matter who it is or what it's about, as it comes to you, you take care of it. And so this day, as everyone makes decisions for you, we believe we've heard something this day that will change our life forever. We'll never, never, never be the same. Your goodness and your mercy follows us all the days of our life. We're part of your household. We'll dwell that way forever. And Father, we thank you. Now, We receive, Lord, right now as a family, there are folk in our congregation and folk we know that are battling sickness and disease, situations, calamities, catastrophes and everything else. And so we add our faith with theirs and we declare in the name of Jesus that you perfect that which concerns us. And so we thank you for bringing them out. We thank you that health and healing is theirs. We thank you, Father, that whatever it is, you have made provision for it. And with them, we receive that for them by faith in Jesus' name. And we thank you this day Lord, for answering our prayer. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We ask you to dismiss us this morning. Once again, on this day that we celebrate as a memorial day for all those who have given their lives naturally that we could live free, Lord, we do honor them this day. And we thank you. But most of all, Lord Jesus, you gave it all for us. And then you gave it to us. And we receive it. We thank you. We ask you to dismiss us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Be safe.